Turn in your Bible to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 5. John chapter 5. I mentioned that this would be part 2. About old Amalek. You know that old nature that we have. There's a verse in the Bible that my father-in-law told me about right after I trusted the Lord. He sold me on eternal security. He showed me all the salvation verses, how I can never lose my salvation. And I knew I was going to heaven. Nothing else mattered. I knew that. And I was thankful. Because it really did make a good foundation on me to learn the rest of the stuff. But I never have to doubt my salvation. Here in the Gospel of John in chapter 5, I want you to look there in verse 24. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life." And hath means right now, present possession. And then he says, "and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Shall not come into condemnation, meaning that in the future I can never be condemned again. Because if I died, because Christ paid for my sins and that death was put to my account, well, as far as the law is concerned, I died. And the law can never condemn a dead man. And I was a dead man. But I was alive in Christ. So I understood that much, but I had a little problem understanding the last part of that verse where it says, "but is passed from death unto life." That very moment when you believe, in God's eyes, you have passed from death unto life. Now, this morning, and at other times, I have taught what we call the two natures. Your first birth, your second birth. They're not the same. When you trusted Christ as Savior, God did absolutely nothing for the first birth. He gave you a new birth. So when he says you're passed from death, that's the first birth. Unto life, well, that's the second birth. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me over there to the book of Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. Many times we read this verse here in chapter 8, verse 1. And I even had a few questions about the last part of this verse. So I checked out commentaries, and I'll have to be honest, I was not satisfied with anything that any of them said. Because you see in verse 1, "there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Now, if you stop right there, that sounds good. That does sound like there's nothing wrong with it. There is now no condemnation. So tomorrow when I read that verse, there is now, President, no condemnation. If I read it 10 years from now, there is now no condemnation. There can never be another condemnation. I can never be condemned again in the future. But that last part of the verse, it kind of threw me, but it seemed like it threw a lot of people. But look what it says. It looks like the second part determines the first part. That who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So like you're not condemned if you don't walk after the flesh. But if you walk after the flesh, you could be condemned. So there looks like there's contradiction in the Bible or a problem anyway. So even in Scofield Notes, it says that this maybe should not even be in there. Well, I got to thinking about that. And the more I read the chapter before it, the more I was convinced it's right where it belongs. And it does belong there. And I like to show it to you because you don't want to live your life thinking that there is a possibility I could still be condemned in the future because, well, I read this verse. And if this verse says what it says, or I don't understand it all, I could be in a heap of trouble. But maybe it's a good consolation verse that lets you know something. Now, I want you to hold your place here in the book of Romans because we're going to come back. But take your Bible and turn over there to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians and chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Remember this morning we talked about the old man and the new man. We're not talking about your father. We're not talking about your granddaddy. We're talking about that old sinful nature, that first birth that we had. The new birth was created in righteousness, created in holiness. In other words, your second birth is perfect. It's born of God. But here in the book of Colossians in chapter 3, telling us how we're supposed to live. Many people get upset when they see something in the Bible says what to do and what not to do. As though, well, that's putting people under the law. That's making you a legalist because you're telling people how to live. Well, what if I just simply tell you what God said? Does that make me a legalist if I tell you what he said? Does it make God a legalist because there's something he wants you to do and not do? If there's anybody who knows the law, it's the Lord. And notice this. It says there in verse 5, chapter 3, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, while you're on the earth in this body, you're living in this life. We're not yet in heaven. But until we get there, there's some things that God says he wants us to do. See up in verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are what? He says, you're dead. Now, I didn't say that. God's word says that. It says, you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead. That's the old man. You're alive. That's the new man. So you and I are supposed to live as though the old man is dead. Now, God judicially says it is true, but for you and I, we have that old man. But we're supposed to live like he doesn't exist and don't give place unto the devil and don't make provision for the flesh. So he makes a statement down here in verse 8, but now he also put off all these, anger and wrath, malice and so forth. All these things in verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So he's talking to those who already know the Lord. Not all of God's children are walking with the Lord. Not all of God's children are obedient. But God says he wants us to be obedient. So he says here in verse 10, and have put on the new man. Now, you can't walk in the Spirit and fulfill the flesh. They don't go together. You're going to be walking in the flesh or you're going to be walking in the Spirit. And so this is why he gives us a definition also of this new man. See there, verse 10? And have put on that new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So the new birth was created by God. You were born of God. Born by the incorruptible word of God. Now, as you go down through these scriptures, it'll tell you some things to do and not to do. And God is just telling you the things to do because he wants to bless you. What he tells you to do is because he knows that's good for you. When God says something not to do, it's because he knows that's going to hurt you. That's going to ruin your testimony. That's going to cost you rewards in heaven. So remember, God wants the best for his children. Now go there to the book of Romans in chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We once again have a story of two individuals. We have a story about the first Adam, the second Adam. First Adam, of course, is we were born of the flesh birth. Second Adam, Christ, you were born of God. So there's these two individual federal heads, and the whole world is either because you're in the first birth and then when you're in the second birth. So there's some things that God says to us to help us to understand some things. So you notice there when he makes a statement in verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Now, that means that Adam commit one sin, and death reigned because it wound up condemning the whole human race, and everybody got this old sinful nature, so everybody sinned. Then he says this, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, because he says that is by the life of one, Jesus Christ. So here's over here, one person sinned, and everybody's condemned. And then along comes Jesus Christ, and he did righteousness. He was perfect. So all those that are in his family are all made righteous. So there's many here, and there's many here. So he makes this statement in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So they will all be condemned. Even so, by the righteousness of one, Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So all these people that were overhearing condemned, the many that's over here came from these that were over here. But not all of these over here came to this over here. Not everybody born into this world has trusted Christ as their Savior. Only those who did trust the Lord are born of God. And so what Christ did is give them his righteousness. Adam gave us his sinful nature. That's why we sin. Now, there's two families here, two separations. The believers and the unbelievers. These of the flesh are condemned because they sinned against God, broke God's law, and the law condemns sin. And the soul that sinneth shall die. So that's why we all die. That's the first birth. Then notice what he says here. In verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, and by many been made sinners, all were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Everyone born into God's family is made righteous. So we're all born into this world, flesh birth, we're all ungodly. We're all sinners. We're all condemned. We're all down a dime. But those who trust Christ have all been made righteous. And that righteousness means that God has created you in holiness. That's the second birth. And so the second birth that cannot sin cannot be condemned. That's why he says, he that believeth, heareth my word, and believeth in him that sinned, he shall not come into condemnation. So you and I, once we trust the Lord, can never be condemned again. So then he goes in here and he makes a good statement. Notice what he says in verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death. That's in the first birth, not the second birth. Sin reigns in your first birth until it's dead. It produces death. And everybody sins and everybody's going to die. But even so, might grace reign through righteousness unto life eternal by Jesus Christ our Lord. This one over here will reign for how long? Forever, for eternity. This one until you die. And it doesn't have any of the victory, but the new birth does because Christ has given us his victory. He defeated sin and the grave, the devil, and put that victory to our account as though we did it. So when he died on the cross and paid for our sins, it was just like I had died and paid for my sins because he did it for me in my place. And so that is given to me. Now, when he makes the statement here in the book of Romans in chapter 6, now he's going to take and tell you about these two individuals, the flesh, the spirit, the old man, the new man. But just so that you get the idea, understand this, the flesh birth cannot follow the spiritual birth, the new man. And a new man does not walk after the flesh. The new man only can walk in the spirit. The new man here can't walk out. So when you walk in the flesh, that's that second old man that you have. That's your old man. And this is why he says there in the book of Romans in chapter 8, look in verse 1 again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. The new man, the new birth cannot walk after the flesh. He can't do it. That's why he says in verse 2, for the law of the spirit of life, that's your second birth, in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's your first birth. Look up here. This is walks according to the law of sin and death. It sins, it dies, it's condemned. Well, what set me free from that was my new birth when I trusted Christ as my Savior. This one follows the Spirit, walks after the Spirit. So that's why the new birth doesn't sin. It can't sin, so it can never be condemned because it cannot walk after the flesh. So when you walk after the flesh, don't say, well, God led me. The Holy Spirit's leading me to do wrong. No, he isn't. the Holy Spirit living inside you will never lead you to go contrary to the Scriptures. That's the old flesh telling you that. And you need to learn how to discern your thoughts. And you do that by the study of the Word of God. So now you see there in verse 3, he says, for what the law could not do. Look up here. The law was nothing wrong with it. You'll see there in chapter 7 of the book of Romans in verse 14, we know the law is spiritual and I am carnal, sold under sin. Nothing wrong with the law. The law said it was weak and that the man in the flesh could not fulfill the righteousness of the law. So that's why there had to be another way. Since man cannot fulfill the righteousness of the law, man can never save himself by the law, by his works. Now notice what else he says in verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Christ did not have sinful flesh. He was in the likeness of it. He had a body, but no sin. Now get this. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So when Christ died, he was able to die because of that sin that was in our flesh. One of these days, God's going to give us a body without that old sinful nature. Now, look in verse 4. There's a couple things I want you to circle. That the righteousness of the law that could not be fulfilled by the flesh birth, your first birth, can be fulfilled by the second birth. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled, and see those next two words, in us. But also, I'd write down your notes, but not by us. That's when the Lord is able to work through us. And so the new man cannot ever break the law. The new man can't sin against God, can't sin, cannot break laws. Not the law, the moral law, any law. It cannot break the law. That's why if it cannot break any laws, it cannot sin, it cannot die, it cannot be condemned. Therefore, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ, this one, because this one can only walk in the Spirit and never in the flesh. When you see it, it's clear. And it's clear in my mind. I don't know if it is in y'all's. I hope it is. I hope I'm getting you all nice and confused. But if you were confused, you already were before I started. And now in verse 4 again, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that's when God wants to fulfill the righteousness of the law. Remember when he came, he was looking for the trees to have fruit of righteousness on them. And there was no trees that were righteous. So he said, all the trees will have to be cut down. And so he was going to plant another tree. And he was that tree. That's why you hear something referring to him in the book of Isaiah in chapter 53. He was a root out of a dry ground. He was a new tree, new seed. And therefore he had no sin. And he only produced righteousness. So from our new birth, God is able to produce righteousness that's pleasing to God. But that means that you as a child of God must learn how to depend upon the Lord to help you walk in the Spirit. That's why he says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because you still got them, but you don't have to fulfill them all. It's not that you become sinless, but if you serve the Lord, you should sin less. You get what I'm saying? Because God says, sin not. You can't. It said, be holy. And there's some things that God tells us to do that we should do. But how do I solve this problem? Well, see, that's why in chapter 7, right before this, Paul mentions here some things that were really confusing. Maybe to him, but I know to a lot of Christians. When you want to walk in the Spirit, and you still don't want to walk in the Spirit. When you want to obey and you don't want to obey. You want to read and you don't want to read. You want to witness, you don't want to witness. When you're supposed to have the peace of God and yet you worry yourself sleep at night. Nobody here like that, I know. But look what he says in verse 15 of chapter 7. For that which I do, I allow not. In other words, I don't want to give myself permission to do the things that I'm doing. But what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I can sin unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That old sinful nature. That's why I still want to do it. And yet you say, well, how do you explain all this stuff? It can sure get confusing at times. Yeah, live till you're 80 years old and see if you get a little confused at times. Notice verse 18. Verse 18 is a good verse, ought to be underlined in your Bible. It says, for I know that in me, that is in my what? Flesh or spirit? In my flesh. It says, dwelleth how much good? No good thing. You go back there to chapter 3 of the book of Romans, and it says concerning our first birth, there is none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. All those things that are mentioned there is reference to your first birth. Now, get what he says here. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. The desire to do what God wants is there, and I'd like to, but I don't know how to perform. See, that's why he says it. But how to perform? You underline those three little words. Because as you read and study the Word of God, it's to help you learn how to perform. How to do what God wants you to do with your life. When he says, walk in the Spirit, how? Be spiritually minded. How? Ugh. Learn how to do the thing that God wants you to do. But it takes time, it takes study, it takes growth. Learn to walk according to the light that you do have, and God will give you some more light. But you see, God doesn't need to give you more light, more truth, more understanding, if you will not walk according to the understanding you already have. And that's found in Philippians chapter 3, believe it or not. Now get what he says here. In verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. And that's word do there is prazo also. I mean, you practice it. You continually do it. That's, look up here. This is the one who continually practices sin. This one over here cannot commit one single act of sin. And then he makes this statement. He says, it is no more I that do it in verse 20. I find then a law, and the law of sin and death, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And so you understand the battle that you're having, the battle that you face, this turmoil that goes on inside your life. You and Amalek going at it, and you're going to have that battle all your life. There's no way to get away from it. It's either you surrender or you fight. And if he wins, you lose. But who's the one that determines who wins? You. God has given to each one of us the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And he knows how to handle Amalek. He knows how to handle him. So that's why when God gave you this new birth and put you in that little boxing ring with Amalek, and you're just a little child of God, how's a little child of God going to take, you know, stand against an Amalek? Or I used to call him a Mike Tyson in a ring. Well, he gave you the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit know how to handle him? So he wants to teach you the word so that as you learn the word, you'll learn what to do and what not to do. How not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. How not to make provision to get in trouble. You know, a lot of people make provision to get in trouble. And then, well, I don't know what happened. Well, they went somewhere they weren't supposed to go and they did something they shouldn't have done. And I don't know how it happened. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. You made provision. You made opportunity to get in trouble. And if you'll just watch yourself and do what's right, choose the right kind of people, go to church, and don't try to outsmart God. Anytime you try to outsmart God, you lose. You lose. So he says here, and this is so important. See there in verse 22? For I delight in the law of God after the which man? So are we talking about the inward man? Are we talking about the old man and the new man? That's what these scriptures teach. You can't understand most of the scriptures in the Christian life without understanding those two natures. And most people never understand the gospel because they can't distinguish between salvation and service, between grace and works. They don't get it. Or rewards and chastening. When you can separate those things, it helps you to, as the Bible says, rightly divide the word of truth. So notice what he says in verse 23. But I see in another law in my members. Get this. Here's the war. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. The law of sin, that old sinful nature that dwells in your body, wants to bring you into captivity because it wants to capture your thoughts. Because your actions are a byproduct of the way that you think. So God says you need to surrender your mind to the Lord. And what does he say in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12? And we talk about not Hebrews, but Romans. And he makes the statement that I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So with the law of the mind, we're supposed to let the Holy Spirit guide us. And the law of sin, well, that's in my flesh. Leave this one here and leave this one here, and you'll understand the battle better. Otherwise, you make compromises, trying to get along with that old man that wants to do you in. So he says this, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It's the body. The body of this death, that is where we're supposed to consider it dead. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then means there is a choice being stated here. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God or the spiritual life. But with the flesh, that second, first birth, the law of sin. It's separating the two. That's why when it tells you that here you are and you realize I want to serve the Lord, but I got this old sinful nature and I'm doing all these bad things, God says, understand this. The second birth in verse 1, when he says, there is therefore, this verse goes with what went before it. It's explaining what we just looked at. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which walk according to the Spirit. That's the second birth. This one can only do that, and that's why it can never be condemned, because it does not follow the flesh. So what is following the flesh? That's the old man, not the new man. So when you see that and understand, and then when you go down through the book of Romans in chapter 8, it is very enlightening. And it's the first place, after all these verses in the book of Romans, where we talk about the Holy Spirit, where God gives us the Holy Spirit, who maketh intercession for us and teaches us and leads us and guides us. And as you see over in verse 14, and as many have been led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit does not lead the first birth. The Holy Spirit leads and guides that second birth, the spiritual man. And that's why he says, now as an individual, if you don't learn how to think, you're going to think wrong. So he says in verse 5 of chapter 8, for they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, spiritually minded, life and peace. You got to learn how to think. How is it to be spiritually minded means you mind the Spirit? To be fleshly minded, you mind the flesh. See how simple that is? You got desires to serve God, then do it. You got desires not to serve God, don't do that. Because there's the battle. And the more you do what God says do and you let Him win in your life by making the right decision, you'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. This is why you can have people who come to church 20, 30, 40 years, never grow in the Lord. They've learned a lot of scripture, can memorize scripture, can quote it and all the rest of it, but they're not stronger in the Lord. They've got knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. You don't know the Bible until the Bible controls your life. Now, go back there to Romans in chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. So he starts off, he says, should we continue to sin? Because look up here. When I sin a little bit, grace covered my sin. But what if a man lives to be 80 years old? Boy, he's had a lot of time to do a lot of sinning. But more sins, more grace. So there's much grace, more grace. So if I want to have more grace, shall I do more sin? It makes sense, don't it? Well, that's how some people think. You're just giving people a license to what? A license to sin. Isn't it amazing that because I believe in once saved, always saved, I want to do less sinning and I want to produce more righteousness. So it didn't work that way with me. Maybe a lot of God's people. See, that's what the devil does. That can't be true. You're trying to tell me you can just live like you please and still go to heaven? Well, can't you live like you please and still go to hell? Huh? So we're talking about not how you're living. We're talking about how you're getting to what destination do you want? To go to hell, you don't have to do anything. Go to heaven, you got to believe. Take your choice. But don't say, well, I can't believe that because you can go out here and live like the devil. Well, can't you? You're trying to tell me you can kill somebody, you can rob a bank, commit murder, or whatever the sin may be. Well, let's just forget about God and heaven and hell. You can still do that, can't you? What's stopping you? Why aren't you doing it then? And lo and behold, some people do. But that's what he says. In verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? When you have been crucified with Christ, it's like you died on that cross, and that was the death of the old man. And now you came back from the dead in Christ. So we were crucified with Christ. We were buried with Christ. We come back from the dead with Christ. And we ascended in heaven with Christ. We're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. But I ain't there yet. All of it hasn't been done. I'm still here. But God said, now live like what I told you is true. So he makes this statement and he proves these things. Look in verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Look up here. You trusted Christ as your Savior. There can't be a birth of a new one until there's the death of the old one. This one died and you were born again. That's why we're supposed to look at it. And now because we have been raised with Christ, how should this one live? In newness of life. Live as though it has no sinful nature because it doesn't have a sinful nature. Now if in verse 5, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. In the book of Philippians in chapter 3, Paul makes the statement in verse 10, I believe it is, that I may know the power of his resurrection. What is the power of his resurrection? Walking in newness of life, like you came back from the dead and you have no sinful nature and now you just want to serve and honor and glorify God. You can do it. But you understand, he's still there and he's still real. But you're to reckon him dead. You're not to live your life trying to satisfy the desires of that old man. You say, you made that up. No, I didn't. Now look what he says here in verse 7. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth from now on we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You see, when did you die? When you trusted Christ as your Savior, his death was put to your account as though you died and paid for all of your sins. But you came back from the dead. And not because you're alive in Christ. That's your position. It cannot change. God says, now live like a child of God. Act like a child of God. Learn the language of the court. Learn to talk like your daddy who's the king. And you're a prince. And so he says here in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So the Christian life is not like Christ does all the living. And I've heard people say, well, the Christian life, it's impossible. You can't live it. Well, let me just put a little kink in that, just a little bit. The Christian life is not Christ living his life without me. And the Christian life is not me living my life without him. You see, if I was crucified with him, and I was buried with him, and I was raised with him, then I should walk with him. It's me and him walking together. A lot of times you'll hear me say, I don't care what you're going through. Whatever the problems may be, the Lord will walk you through it. Remember me saying that all the time. He'll walk you through it. Why? Because he's walking with you. Remember in the old times, Noah walked with God. Adam, they walk with God. I am walking with God. The Christian life is me and Christ walking together. Not him doing it. Not me doing it. It's us doing it. That's why he says we're laborers together with God. Now get this. When he makes a statement here that it's been done in verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Christ will not come back in another body to die in the future for any more sin. Death has no dominion over him. Now, it's going to be the death of us, our body. And the last great enemy in our life is death. But we'll be raised again from the dead, so we win after all. And it says in verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God forever. So now that we have this new birth, born of God, this one is righteous and can live forever. So why did God destroy the flesh birth to give us this new birth? And as he says, that we might be able to serve the Lord and walk in the righteousness that God has. See there in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I should not live the rest of my life because I got a license to sin. God doesn't give us permission to sin. He gives us choices. And you can choose to walk in the flesh and you can choose to walk in the spirit. But it's your choice. God has given us this freedom to make choices, to choose. Therefore, you study the Word of God so that you can lighten in your mind so you'll know how to make better choices for your life. That's why he made the same. Look down there, just jumping around a little bit. Verse 16, he says, know ye not that to whomsoever ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are in righteousness? And he makes the statement here, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You can either serve this one or you can serve this one. It's a choice. And that's why when you get to chapter 7, it talks about the struggle between the two. And though we have a struggle between the two, it's because you keep resurrecting him from the dead and fulfilling those sinful desires. That's why the Bible says, deny those things. Don't make provision for the flesh to get you. And so sometimes you have to what? That's why there are certain places I don't go. There are certain people I don't hang around. You don't have many friends. So they didn't die for me. They didn't pay for my sins. I love people and I want to reach as many. But I'm very careful about who's my friends. If they don't serve God, they're not my friends. I have acquaintances and I like a lot of people. And I've met a lot of people. But I don't let a lot of people influence me. Why? Because I don't want somebody who's not walking with God. I was talking about this morning a little bit about making the Lord your best friend. And some people make that old man their best friend, like, you're going to get along. No, there's a war going on, and he's not going to make peace with you. He'll put you in pieces, that's what he'll do, and ruin your life. Now, notice what he says here in verse 11. We'll cover these three verses and quit. Verse 11, likewise also, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, that first birth, but alive unto God, your second birth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, that first birth, therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. You still got the lust. You can obey those desires, so you can live according to the flesh. But he says this, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. So are you and I supposed to live as though we came back from the dead? I didn't make this up. It's right there in your Bible. You can't deny it. What I'm telling you is the truth. Many people have a difficulty applying Scripture to their life. How to put it into practice. So you learn little bit by little bit, little bit by little bit. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 5, he talks about by reason of use, they have their senses exercised thereby. Learning to discern right from wrong through the study of the Word of God. And he says, for the time, many of you are dull of hearing, means you don't want to hear because you don't want to do. The more you want to do for the Lord, the more you want to hear from God. Don't that make sense? But when you don't want to obey God, you don't want to be around Him. Why do you think people stop going to church? Because they have no intention of doing what God wants them to do. If you can go and you could go and you should go, then why not? I've never had a real problem with it for 62 years. I don't find it a big problem. Do what you can with what you got where you are. Walk according to the light that you do have, and you'll be surprised how God will richly bless your life. Look up here. Once again, because somebody else may hear this sermon 10 years from now, I'll be up in glory eating strawberries. And people may turn on the YouTube or hear a sermon and say, you know, that made sense. I wonder how you go to heaven. For them, watch. And if you're watching by internet, pay attention. This hand represents you and me. The wallet represents sin. We all have sin on us. Now, God, He loves us. Now, He hates our sin, but He loves us. And so the Bible says that God wants us to go to heaven, but to go to heaven, we've got to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. Since we've all sinned, we're all condemned. And that condemnation means death in hell, eternal separation from God. But God wants to spend eternity with Him. But we can't with sin. So the Bible says you cannot save yourself. There's no amount of good works to pay for sin. Because the payment for sin is not works. It's death. Wages of sin is death. We have to die. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord God in the flesh. Came into the world because He loves us. Hates our sin because it separates us from Him. So Jesus Christ, who had no sin, didn't have to die. So He took all the sin of the world, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead, and said, whosoever in the world would believe that He did it for them, He put this payment to their account, and they would not have one sin to pay for, regardless of how many sins they made. It doesn't matter. More sins, more grace, but they never have to pay for one sin. That's grace. That's good news. And whenever they believe it, God said He gives them as a free gift everlasting life. And never cast them out and never lose it. That's why you can be able to say, I know I have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Can you know you have eternal life? And can you know it now? And see, that's the best news in the world. And I know that in the future, whether it's today or tomorrow, next year, or 20 years from now, and I may make it to 120 like Moses, but I'm just kind of hoping there. All my sins are paid. I can never be condemned because I've already died. I've already died and paid for my sins. You see, I am now seen in Christ with a new birth that can never be condemned. Let's pray, shall we? Head bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you right now, the best you know how, would you just say, Lord, I don't understand it all. I got questions, got some doubts. But friend, even with all of that, you can still believe that what Christ did, He did it for you. So would you trust Him right now? And if you're watching by internet, the same thing goes for you, right where you are. All that you have to do is, the only thing you can do is when you believe that when Christ died, He paid for your sins. By believing that, He puts that payment to your account. And God knows your mind. God knows if you believe it or not. So you can't make a mistake this way. You're not promising to stop something or join something. You're just receiving what He did for you. And if you will believe it, God said He'll save you right now and give you eternal life. And you can know that you're going to heaven whenever you die. Our Father, we thank You again for Your blessings. Thank You for this time together. And bless each person for being here in Christ.